Hello and welcome to Next Time's Tax Podcast. We offer crisp, insightful episodes on emerging tax developments and how they may impact businesses across the globe through short interviews with tax experts. In today's podcast, our experts will discuss various critical aspects of UAE corporate tax, including the need of tax groups, comparative analysis for tax groups, tax losses, structuring, and several others. I'm your host, Jiten Ganatra. I'm part of NextDime, and joining me today on this podcast is Nishit Parikh and Chirag Chilani. Nishit is a practicing chartered accountant with over 14 years of experience advising several corporates on matters relating to international tax, regulatory, structuring of inbound and outbound investments. Nishit has also been actively advising clients in structuring investments in the UAE region and working on UAE corporate tax and transfer pricing matters. Nishit has authored numerous articles and regularly addresses forums on international tax topics, including UAECD and transfer pricing. Chirag has over 10 years of well-rounded experience in corporate, international, and indirect tax areas. Chirag is a group tax manager for a luxury real estate firm in the UAE. In his current role, Chirag deals with formulating tax strategies to set up optimal tax structures, evaluating new investments, monitoring tax litigation matters, and identifying potential tax exposures domestically and internationally. Welcome and thanks for joining Nishit and Chirag. I want to take this opportunity to discuss a few critical aspects of UAE corporate tax law and understand your views. Nishit, tax group is much talked about. In your view, what are the key advantages or other disadvantages of forming tax group?
Thank you, Jiten, for inviting me. A very relevant question. Tax group as a concept is very relevant in the region. Typically, there have been many large groups which have over the years created multiple entities, SPVs, due to various commercial reasons and business needs. Now, with implementation of corporate tax and transfer pricing regulation in UAE, it would become extremely difficult to manage tax compliances for so many entities. And hence, concept of tax group would be very important for these large groups. To list down few key advantages of tax group would be entire group is treated as a single taxable person. There is flexibility to add and delete entities. Single registration and single compliance can be done for a tax group. You get the benefit of consolidation. So any entity which is a loss-making entity would have the benefit of setting off the loss with another entity which is a profit-making entity. Since all the entity within the group would be consolidated, the entire transfer pricing focus would be lost because there is no two distinct entity where any tax arbitrage or benefit can be taken. And hence overall transfer pricing compliance and overall rigors of transfer pricing would mellow down considerably. Also, there have been detailed provisions and guidelines provided on how pre-group tax losses of subsidiary can be used to set off loss at a tax group level and what kind of tax losses would not be allowed. So all in all, it will provide a better cash flow management and better compliance management to large group. On the other end, some of the disadvantages would be also there for a tax group. Say if you have a 20 entities in a group, you will not be able to claim the basic exemption of say roughly around $100,000, that is $375,000 AD, which is available only once. Otherwise, all 20 entities in itself could have claimed that exemption. Another important aspect which is slightly not aligned very much is that the benefit of forming a tax group is available only if you have a resident holding company. So in case there is a situation where there is a foreign group which has multiple subsidiaries in UAE, they will not be able to form a tax group unless they set up a holding company in UAE, which then holds all the step-down investments. So that is something which can bother a lot of foreign groups which have not set up a holding company in UAE. Also, there may be multiple accounting systems, financial years being followed by various entities within a group. Now that would have to be aligned. In order to form a tax group, the parent company has to own 95% of the share or the voting rights in the subsidiary, directly or indirectly. I believe this percentage could have been slightly lower, then a lot of people could have claimed advantage of these tax groups in UAE. Also, while there is a single registration, single compliance, but in order to make application for a tax group, all the entities are initially required to take registration and then potentially a tax group would be formed. So all in all, it's a welcome move. Barring few disadvantages, it's a welcome move.
Interesting. In fact, tax groups are also part of VAT regime. Chirag, what is different here, if you could throw some light?
Hi Jitin, thanks for inviting me. VAT group is very different to a corporate tax group. The conditions to form a group are different. As Nishit pointed out, that you need a 95% or above shareholding, which may be direct or indirect, for a corporate tax group. On the flip side, the VAT conditions for the VAT group is 50% of an interest in the voting rights or the market value or the control. So under VAT group, you would look at economic, financial, or organizational ties, whereby groups which are controlled under common controllership could also get covered in the for VAT purposes. However, though, for corporate tax grouping, you need, you know, the tax residency. The criteria are very different. You need the 95%. So all these tests are more restrictive compared to VAT. And I mean, for instance, groups which already have VAT groups, which have UAE companies which are controlled from outside UAE, those groups could be would now not be part of the corporate tax groups as such. So it's a completely different concept. And these are two different things we are looking at. And that is how the group should approach it.
Okay, I understand. Chirag, in your current role, you've been looking at tax matters globally. So how do you see Pillar 2 provisions evolving in UAE? Also, should any consideration to Pillar 2 provisions be given while forming tax groups?
Sure. This is a very interesting topic. As such, there has been a lot of work from the OECD on Pillar 2 since September 2021. And all of that work was, you know, called slow progress. Till very recently, we had an update saying that, you know, 138 countries have now agreed for an outcome statement, which indicates significant progress on Pillar 2 implementation. Now, under the Pillar 2 rules, the countries are encouraged to adopt a minimum tax regime of 15%. And that is what UAE has done. So by implementing the corporate tax rules, now the groups in UAE would be, you know, the profits would be taxed by the UAE tax authorities at 9%, and they wouldn't lose on revenue. In a situation where there is no corporate tax, the income would be taxed anyway, but it might go in the hands of different tax authorities in outside UAE. So you could see maybe even Bahrain coming up with a similar proposal, wherein out of the Pillar 2 initiative, a lot of countries would now bring in corporate tax rules. So for the UAE groups, it is very important that they ensure that their structures are tax efficient from a UAE corporate tax grouping as well as the Pillar 2 perspective.
Thanks, Chirag. I'll move to Nishit now. Nishit, what are your thoughts on carrying forward of tax losses provisions, especially what happens in case of a change of ownership?
So tax losses in UAE luckily can be carried forward and set off for an indefinite period. Only condition there is that it can be set off against 75% of the income in the subsequent year. So if you have, say, 100 as an income in the next year and a carry forward loss of 200, then the set off would be restricted to 75, and on the balance 25, you will have to pay taxes. However, it would be important to note that no relief for tax losses which are incurred prior to your CT regime become applicable would be allowed. Also, if there are any losses which are pertaining to any activity which is for generating an exempt income, that would also not be allowed. But interestingly, one open point which I have a view that losses from those activities should be allowed is on bad debts. There could be potentially a scenario where you would have done some sales and business prior to the CT regime. And after the CT regime was implemented, potentially you realize that the money is no longer going to be received from the debtor and you need to write it off in your books. So that potentially should not be a disallowance, or any loss generated because of that kind of a write-off should be allowed to be carried forward, in my view. Also, like you pointed out, on the ownership side, there are two specific conditions to carry forward the business losses. One is that 50% of the shareholding should remain same if you want to claim the tax losses in future. If that 50% shareholding condition is not satisfied, there is an alternative given under the law which says that you can still continue to claim carry forward of losses if you continue to do the same business or similar line of business. Again, what is same business? They have broadly defined that the business which is done using the same asset, it does not result in significant change in the core activity which is undertaken by the earlier entity, and it is from the exploitation of the same assets or services or products. So this is a broad construct as to how the carry forward of losses has been defined. Important point to note is that these provisions would not apply to any listed companies and would be more applicable to a private company. For a listed company, there is no conditions, you can carry forward loss indefinitely.
Interesting. So similarly, what happens to transfer of tax losses? In what situation it would be relevant?
So transfer of tax losses, again, this is a good concept which helps corporates in UAE to leverage on the overall group. So today, as the provision stands, a tax loss can be transferred from one taxable person to another subject to satisfaction of certain conditions. So say there are two group entities in UAE. One is a loss-making entity, second is a profit-making entity. The loss-making entity can transfer its losses to the profit-making entity subject to few conditions, like both are resident person, both have a common ownership of 75%, then they are not part of any qualifying free zone. They should be using same financial year, same accounting standard. Again, the condition of allowing set off up to the income of the 75% only would be allowed. That is, again, if the loss transfer is 200, but the profit-making entity only has 100 as its profit, then only 75 can be set off, even though the carry forward loss was 200 or the loss transferred was 200. So that would be restricted to 75, and on 25 they will have to pay tax. You don't need to form a tax group in order to transfer tax losses. This can be done independently. Only challenge here for larger groups could be where they are operating through a subsidiary as well as through a branch. Since there is a condition that two juridical persons are required, a branch or a PE of a foreign company may not be considered as a resident person in UAE, and hence the transfer of losses in a situation between a subsidiary of a foreign company and a branch of the foreign company may not happen. And in those cases, the companies may have to really see whether if the branch is a loss-making branch, whether they need to convert that branch into a subsidiary so that they can optimize their taxes in the region.
Thank you, Nishit. Chetak, how do you see UAE groups would benefit from the restructuring provisions under the UAE CT?
Coming to the restructuring provisions, these provisions basically give the benefit to the groups to have a tax neutral transfer. And what it means is that now the groups don't really have to transfer these assets at market value. They could transfer it to the net, at the net book value, with the help of these restructuring provisions. Otherwise, there was, there's a very potential exposure, a very large exposure on, by way of capital gains, and also the transfer pricing rules could trigger in such transfers. So, what the UAE has done is they've brought in rules for qualifying groups, wherein these qualifying groups can transfer assets between their members at the net book value. And in order to qualify, the group members should be owned under common controllership by 75% or more. Or it could also be held by a third party for, the holding could be 75% or more for both the group members, which could be held under common controllership. So once these eligibility criteria are fulfilled and you are qualified group, then groups could basically transfer their assets in a way which would not have any tax. So this is very beneficial, especially in a country like UAE, where it's like groups would be having a lot of holding companies, maybe in the mainland or even in the free zone. Although free zone is a separate topic, and we could cover it later on. But these restructuring provisions allow the groups to have a tax neutrality concept similar to what we've seen in the Dutch rules under fiscal unity. So that's pretty beneficial.
Interesting. You touched upon free zone, and I was coming to my last question. And this conversation cannot be complete if we don't speak about free zone. So what are your thoughts on overall impact on free zone businesses? Maybe Chirag, you can continue, and then we go to Dishan.
Sure. Yeah. So from the decisions, it is pretty clear that to claim a free zone exemption, groups should have adequate substance in that free zone. So this is something which can be monitored by the current ESR notifications and reporting obligations, which the group would be complying with already. And they need to be very cautious on their ESR reporting obligations when it comes to free zone, especially to claim the benefit. Now, the other aspect here is that, free zone, let's say I have like a group has a free zone holding company holding subsidiaries in mainland companies. If they are claiming the exemption, then they cannot benefit from tax grouping. The subsidiaries, because for tax grouping purposes, you need a parent subsidiary relationship. And tax grouping doesn't allow qualifying free zone companies. So even though subsidiaries are not covered in tax grouping, the other option which the groups could look at would be making an election and opting out of the free zone exemption, which means that now, all of those revenues coming in the free zones from the mainland, provided it's not making them ineligible for the free zone exemption, they could benefit from the tax grouping provision.
Thanks, Nishit.
Yes, so free zone, in my view, it has been a roller coaster ride for free zone companies with so many changes, so much suspense. As it stands today, I believe a lot of companies are impacted and may come under the tax net. It should be noted that all the service company except companies engaged in investment advisory or wealth management or providing certain specific type of services to their head office or related party may technically be liable to tax now in UAE. So if you look at all the companies, say, be it an architectural company, be it an institute who is into teaching business or a gym or a hotel which is dealing with individuals, all of them would now be impacted. So earlier, it was more to do with whether you are transacting with mainland or you are transacting with other person. Now, you need to be not only looking at that, you also need to look at what is the kind of services you are providing, whether it's a qualifying service, whether it's an excluded activity. So it has become slightly complex. So it becomes very important for all the free zone companies to ensure that they do an appropriate impact analysis of this a new ministerial decision and the law, and see how they can prepare for implementation of the law, and also see whether there are any opportunities as to how they can optimize the taxes. If they have to ultimately pay tax, optimization of taxes would become a very, very important point for all the free zone companies which are impacted by the recent changes.
Great. Thank you, Nishit and Chirag, for spending time and sharing light on various aspects of this UAE's corporate tax and transfer pricing topic. I'm sure our listeners will find this information insightful too. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. If you have any questions on this subject or have suggestions for future topics, write to us at thinknext@thenexttime.com.